Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam 6th Canto, Chapter 1, The History of the Life of Ajamila, Text 61. Jistatam Kamaliptena. Bahuna Parilambitam. Jagamahichchayavasyam. Sahasaiva Vimohitaha. Dristatam Kamaliptena. Bahuna Parilambitam. Jagamahichchayavasyam. Sahasaiva Vimohitaha. So this was the old-fashioned way of decorating one's body to attract lusty desires, but the same principle goes on always in the material world. This history of the life of Ajamila, certainly it's before 5,000 years ago when Vyasadeva wrote down the Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's referred to by Shukadeva Goswami as being a very old, old history. That means the history of Ajamila was far before modern people are willing to admit that advanced human beings existed. Nevertheless, it's the same old story. Those who do not have Krishna consciousness as their goal become absorbed in how to satisfy lusty desires. Even if they are practicing a bit of ritualistic religion, the whole point of that religious observance is how to fulfill material desires. This has been going on since time immemorial. Therefore, right in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the second verse, it is stated, Dharma Projita Kaitavatra. This Srimad Bhagavatam kicks out Kaitava Dharma. What is Kaitava Dharma? Religion with a cheating motive. What is the cheating motive? Does that mean people go to church and they pilfer from the offering plate? No, cheating motive means they are worshipping God for material benefit. Filled with lusty desires, they figure, why not give God a try? He might help me hit the jackpot. He might help me win the lottery. So that is Kaitava Dharma, cheating religion. And it is swept out. Projita means like you take a broom and you sweep out some dust. Sweep it out the door. So Srimad Bhagavatam completely sweeps out any kind of religious activity performed for material gain. We're hearing about Ajamila's fall down. The choreography of living entities arranging for their lusty desires has always been going on. Simply, the customs may differ, but the whole point is the same. You must do this when you take shelter of the mode of passionate ignorance. That is your goal, simply how to satisfy the body. And all day long you're dreaming of the ultimate in bodily satisfaction. Externally you may say, oh, I'm working, I'm going to the university, I'm traveling. But always the core of all those activities is simply, will there be bodily satisfaction for me? Who will notice my body and fulfill all my bodily desires? That's the core of everything these days. How is it that Ajamila came across a prostitute? During Vedic civilization, there was a section of the city for prostitutes. That was to keep young girls from being polluted, because there was always some men who were not satisfied with their wife and they wanted to have unrestricted sex life. So rather than have them going around hunting for innocent ladies to pollute, in Vedic civilization, there was a section of the city for prostitutes. Now there's no need for that. Things are more advanced. People don't even like to use the word prostitute anymore. Like in New Zealand, they want to organize as a union and be called sex workers. They want their profession to be recognized as providing service, a needed service. So, from that angle, and then from another angle, there's no need of prostitutes because everyone is simply engaging in fulfilling their lusty desires very freely, and they think that's advancement. Girls, when they're 12 or 13, if they haven't had illicit sex, they feel quite weird. And all they discuss amongst each other is, have you? When will it happen? How was it for you? This is how hellish and abominable society has become. One survey taken in England, very accurate survey because it was taken by big advertising, the world's biggest advertising agency. They wanted to find out where the mind of the young teenage girls was at these days so they could sell them so many foolish products on behalf of their clients. So in their survey, they found that the lifestyle of the typical 13-year-old girl in the UK, and certainly you can see that everywhere, is that her parents give her a cell phone and let her stay out as long as she wants, as long as she has her cell phone, and if she has any problems, she can call on the cell phone, and she can always take a taxi home at 4 in the morning. That's the standard. All the girls, 13 years old, they're drinking. The parents know it, but they say, just don't get completely drunk. And the parents issue them the birth control pills, and this is considered to be very advanced life. So there's no need for prostitutes. In fact, for a man to go to a prostitute these days, it's considered, even from the material point of view, it's considered, what's wrong with him? I mean, it's so freely available. This is what's happening today. And how are the ladies taught? They are told by their parents, don't marry early. Don't marry the first person you meet. Shop around. Test this one. Test that one. And then after some experience, you're able to make a proper choice. My mother, she told me this. You know, she's fundamentalist Christian, but still, she said, don't do like I did. I got married when I was, 19 to my high school boyfriend, the only boyfriend I ever had. Don't do that. Experience first. Accumulate experiences. And then, after a while, make your choice. Then you'll be more settled. This is what people are thinking today. In other words, let your daughters become sluts, and in this way they'll have a successful family life. And the men, they like to hear this. Yes, yes, experience is required. The men want all the products released on the marketplace. What is the result of all this? You don't have human society. It ends up simply with people working just to get money to make arrangements to fulfill their lusty desires. So many times people tell us, well, how can we take Krishna consciousness seriously? We have to work. We have practical things we have to do. We have to have a roof over our head, food on the table. That is not the reason. Why do they work? Because they're hoping I'll have enough money to make even more attractive arrangements for sex life. It's not that they need food or they shelter. That's why they're working. That comes with basically no problem at this point in time. That's not why they're working, but they'll always make you feel that way. Look, I have to work. I have to pay the rent. I have to, eat. If I chant Hare Krishna, who will pay the rent? If I chant Hare Krishna, you know, where will the food come from? Therefore, I have to do what I'm doing. This is all bogus. What they're really saying is, I need money because I'm just hoping to make the ideal arrangement to satisfy my lusty desires. Without money, it's not going to happen. That's really what's going on. They're dreaming like this, consciously or unconsciously. Money is required to make attractive situations for lusty desires. In this way, people's aspirations are no different than an animal's aspiration. Here in Australia, you have a bird called the bower bird. Does anyone know about the bower bird? Yes, I figured you would know. You've seen them? The bower bird, it has artistic ability. With its saliva, it can paint its nest with purple. And it has the ability to fly all around and collect bluish-purple articles. And then it can arrange all these bluish-purple articles, in the nest, which is painted purple, bluish-purple. And what's the whole purpose of it? Because the male bower bird knows the female bower birds, they become attracted to this. So if you look at a bower bird's nest, you'll see it smeared with bluish-purple paint, and you'll see all kinds of bluish-purple objects it's collected, like bluish-purple toothbrushes and bluish-purple, you know, plastic jewelry. Very artistic, but what's the purpose? To attract the female bird. Now, the bower bird not only does it for himself, the male not only builds this artistry for his own lusty desires, he also teaches his children to do the same thing. So, what is the difference between human society, say, and animal life? Everything that humans want to do physically, animals can do better. The human being simply has the advantage of advanced consciousness to have a discussion like we're doing now. But if that advanced consciousness is wasted pursuing animalistic goals, this is the greatest tragedy. Just like, did you know ants, female ants, the queens, after they are impregnated, afterwards, they can decide by controlling the pregnancy when the offspring will be born and what gender they'll be. Now, you know any women who can do that? After they've been impregnated, they can control the whole biological process and determine the gender of the offspring and when the offspring will be born. So how can you compete with animals? Not possible. But that is what everyone thinks the goal of life is. I cannot become Krishna conscious because I'm practical. That's bogus. That means I cannot become Krishna conscious because I want to have uncontrolled senses. I want to be like garbage in the street, and your movement prevents that. Your movement is against that. In Sanskrit, prostitute is called dasi pati. Dasi pati means the master of prostitute. Dasi pati. And the wife is called dharma patni. She assists in religious activity. But no man today wants a dharma patni. They all want dasi patni. They all want prostitute. They all want to be... If a man can become the master of a prostitute, he thinks, oh, my life is made. If they can walk on the beach with a scantily clad lady, they feel so happy. The pride of the city. An intelligent human being, however, wants dharma patni, a wife who can assist in spiritual development. Ajamil had so many good qualities. We were discussing them yesterday. He was raised as a Brahmin in the mode of goodness. He could control his mind and senses to a certain degree. He was absorbed in Vedic rituals. He was respectful to his elders. He was gentle. All that became ruined through illicit sex life. This is another great problem with Western so-called civilization. Not only is it absorbed in lust, but it has no understanding of how lust destroys all good qualities. They think it's just a casual thing. Okay, you Krishnas, you don't like illicit sex. You're a gangster. Okay, that's your trip, that's all right. We ourselves happen to just believe in doing what we feel is appropriate at the moment for the expression of life's desires. So you can go your way, we'll go our way. And ultimately, there's not much difference. They cannot see the havoc caused in their life by illicit sex. Their medicine can't explain that. If you talk to an Ayurveda doctor, he'll tell you how illicit sex life destroys the health of the male and female. There's a reaction for everything. But your Western doctors don't teach you that. In fact, they'll tell you, without a vigorous, lusty career, your health will suffer. So many times our devotees go to doctors, especially these alternative doctors, and they all say the same thing. You guys just get up too early in the morning and you're just curtailing too many desires. You think you go to a naturopath, homeopath, whatever, and you'll get some different angle than going to a chemical doctor. But no, that part of being alternative and part of being natural is to just accept that, you know, fulfilling the body's desires is the normal occupation. So many of our devotees, they go to these naturopaths and homeopaths and whatever, natural therapists, and they all say like that, what time do you get up in the morning? Inhuman. And what kind of principles do you follow? Oh, vegetarianism, yes, we can understand that. Vegetarianism, that's good. Gambling, yes. You know, only fools gamble. Intoxication, well, certainly you shouldn't take the hard drugs, but the softer pleasure drugs generally don't cause too much damage. Just don't overdo it. But what's that last one? What? Are you kidding me? No wonder you're sick. No wonder your body's breaking down. So, our so-called Western civilization has no understanding of this, the full impact of this Ajamil situation. How illicit sex destroyed everything he had, all his good qualities, destroyed his brain, finished him off for life. His lusty activities became the centerpiece of his life, and he's willing to work hard for that, commit crimes for that, all to keep this centerpiece of his existence intact. So this is a main reason why people, they feel hesitant to take up Krishna consciousness seriously. They don't understand that the body is not meant for pleasure. The body actually is meant for your undoing. It's meant for your problems. Spiritual life, that is the spirit soul. Spiritual life means pleasure. All pleasure is actually founded on the spirit soul. Not the body. But it's very difficult for us to get that into our head. My body is not meant for pleasure. And we think that by nibbling at this person, nibbling at that person, we're accumulating life's experiences. We're accumulating valuable experiences by nibbling in so many relationships. Yeah, I tried him, and we agreed on a lot of things, but after a while, we agreed, you know, that we didn't agree on a lot of things. And I mean, I did learn a lot, though. I mean, you know, he showed me different aspects of life I hadn't seen before. She showed me this and that about myself. And we had some good weekends together. And it lasted for a month. And, yeah, it was interesting. Everyone will applaud that. Oh, very good. That's very nice. Very nice. Mm-hmm. And we did, you know, go to Bali for, you know, for a week together. And
Yeah, I mean, you know, I never went to Bali before, you know, and you know, it was fun, you know. Anyway, now it's, you know, it's another month now, and, you know, I'm just keeping myself open, you know. I want to be open in life. Like a sewer, you know, you want to be open for everything. I want to open up to people. You know, and I just want life to come to me in its full impact, you know. I don't want to have any conceptions or restrict myself, you know. I want to freely experience all the varieties of life, and, you know, I really want to love people, you know what I mean. I really want to learn how to love people, yeah, you know what I mean. So that's how they say. Everybody thinks the other person is having very wonderful, lusty affairs. And they think, only me, I'm the only one who's not enjoying. Everyone else, they're so happy. Look at the movies, look at the TV, read the books. They're all having such a good time. But it never works like that for me. What am I going to do? I'll go to the bookshop, get some special books. Men are from Mars, women are from Venus, or something. Got to get it together. I've got to figure it out, because everybody I know is happy in this way. I know it. So this is the big conspiracy that's going on. The conspiracy of material existence is that actually no one is satisfied through lusty activities, but they've got everybody else convinced. Every person's convinced. Everyone else is enjoying. I simply have to better my procedures, better my methodology, and I'll be happy just like everybody else. And for that, you work so hard. It, all this takes money. You struggle, but you don't see the struggle. You think it's just natural. It's just me doing my thing. It's just me expressing myself, being artistic, relating to others. You don't see, you're simply becoming garbage in the street. And what do you have to do yourself? Ruin your health. Depleting your bodily energies, destroying your intelligence. Putting yourself through so many unnatural methods to avoid pregnancy. I remember I met some, I didn't know what they were at first. They turned out to be followers of this so-called Osho. So they had a farm up in Murwillumbah. So they were telling me how everything on our farm is so natural. You know, you look in the bathroom, there's natural toilet paper, there's, you know, organic toothpaste. Natural soap. They really prided themselves on that. Everything was like that. Organic food, pure cotton curtains. Everything. They only wore pure cotton clothes and lots of straw products from Indonesia. And there was nothing artificial. So then, as they were starting to reveal to me that they were followers of this, you know, this cheater. So I said, well, your philosophy is that whenever you feel a desire, you should act on it, and in that way you'll become transcendental. And everything in your ranch is so natural, but for you to engage in your lusty activities, obviously, I don't see many children around here, so you must be using some artificial methods. So, oh, no. We don't do that. We don't use any artificial methods in our sublime activities. I said, well, where are all the children, you know? You've got a community of about, you know, 15 people here. Where are all the kids? Kids? Who wants kids? We have all our women sterilized and avoid anything artificial. So that's natural, to have every woman sterilized so she doesn't have children. They didn't see the contradiction at all. When you become focused on lust, you lose all intelligence. It is impossible to keep intelligence while absorbed in illicit sex life. Ajamil is losing all his good qualities. This is the biggest destroyer of good qualities, illicit sex life. And people don't even see that. They don't see how their cleanliness goes, how their tolerance goes. They don't see how they're losing any chance to not identify with the body. They don't care about all that. And they're willing to work for it. Oh, how will I decorate my body today? I'm sure at the mall, you can see them walking around. Got a little money in the pocket. And what's the whole point? What can I buy that will make my body more attractive? Make others find my body more attractive? Shall it be this color or shall it be that color? So I can just see myself in this. If you have some friends, you ask, what do you think about this? Do you think this looks nice? Oh, yeah. This is what the mall's all about. The whole world is about this. And people expect there to be peace while they're slaughtering themselves in dedication to fulfilling their lusty desires. And they think we've got nothing to offer them that's better than that. If we say, okay, you want to marry? Take one husband, take one wife who can assist you in spiritual development. Oh, get serious. Your spiritual development, we know what it means. We know what your regular principles are. It's amazing how many of them know this, you know. We know only for such and, a lot of them now have pseudo-intellectual way of referring to it. You guys, you're simply for procreational, and you're against recreational. They make it sound like a real put-down. You're against recreational. You're just for procreational. And you're supposed to feel really, you're supposed to really feel weird. I remember I was at one nationwide TV show they were filming in Melbourne. And it was about, has the church lost its way? I told you about this. Did I tell about it here? Yeah. No. So, anyway, supposed to be a big discussion, many people in the audience. Has the church in Australia lost its way? They had, dignitaries from the Catholic and Anglican Church on the stage. And what was the discussion centered on? 90% of the discussion was simply, should homosexuality be allowed in the church or not? The other 10% was about women, what is the role of women? Everything was body, body, body. So after the TV show, filming was over, one lady, about 50 years old, church matron, she came up to us, Bhaktadas and myself, and she just said, well, what is your position on homosexuality? So I told her, we're against all illicit sex, homo or hetero. She said, well, what do you mean by that? I said, well, anyone who understands nature knows that the purpose of that activity is for procreation. So we limit it to that in marriage for the purpose of bringing about divine children. So you mean you're just for procreational and not recreational? I said, yeah. She's 55 year old. She just looked at me and said, weird! You know, in Australia, they don't hold anything back, you know. She just 55-year-old lady. You think it was a teenage girl. She just, very dignified, stately. She just looked at me and said, weird. So we have a complete disagreement. Why can't people understand the protection that Krishna consciousness gives? Because they are so attached to identifying with their body, they think there can be no pleasure without that. Because they have bad association, they never give themselves a chance to find out anything different. This is the problem. Ajamil, when he had his difficulty, he didn't take shelter of good association. He was tottering, he was staggering under the impact of seeing this scene of the prostitute and this low-class man. They were drunk, her eyes were rolling. The Bhagavatam describes that, yesterday's verse, Madhu, what is it? Mayureyam Madha, intoxication made by the nectar of the soma flower. So, that's a way to make liquor. Also, you can use madhu, you can use sugar. You ferment it, it becomes intoxication. This is always going on. Nowhere as widespread as it is now. So Ajamil saw this scene, which is common on every street today. Intoxicated persons, scantily clad, embracing, passionately on the street. He couldn't get it out of his mind. It shattered his grip on his Brahminical principles. But he did not seek out association. He just let this thing devastate him. He tried. We'll hear tomorrow how he tried to fight back with his intelligence. But the impact had entered deep into his heart. So gradually, he found that he sought out that prostitute and took her into his own house, right in the presence of his very qualified Brahmana wife. Ritualistic worship of Vishnu, official worship of Vishnu, mainly for fulfilling material desires. He was not absorbed in devotional service. And when he was overwhelmed by such an attack, he did not seek out good association. It's very difficult to bear this kind of thing on your own. That's why we have our association of devotees. Srila Prabhupada once said that anything can be tolerated in good association. Anything. All the disasters of life can be tolerated. You're trying to make a business in this world and there's an economic collapse and your finances are wiped out. But if you have good association of devotees, you can tolerate that. Your children may disappoint you. Your wife may disappoint you. Your husband may disappoint you. You can tolerate all that as long as you have good association. It's amazing. But without good association, we're knocked down so easily, just like a Ajamil. So to fortify our life, we need constant engagement in devotional service and association. Good association of devotees who are making advancement back to Godhead. So our temple offers those facilities. Those who take advantage, they'll become Krishna conscious. Even though the atmosphere in the world today is so polluted. So let us not forget how Ajamil spoiled all his good qualities. He had developed to such a degree and lost. This is the danger. It's not that you're supposed to feel some artificial psychological fright. The danger is real. But our society doesn't teach us that today. It teaches us, why are you feeling guilty? Why are you feeling restraint? There's no danger. The danger is if you don't do these things, then you'll be psychologically malfunctioning if you don't act like this. You'll be a failure. Life will have passed you by, and you won't have a huge catalog of lusty affairs to meditate on when you're an old man or woman. That's the way people are made to feel. And not only should you try for as many lusty engagements as possible, but also make it even more intense. Make sure every movie you go to is packed with that kind of thing. Make sure every book you read, every TV show you watch, make sure it's all about that. Things are so hellish today that people don't even refer to these scenes in the movies in a you know, like in any kind of critical way. In fact, what do they say? You'll find even normal people, quote-unquote, regular mainstream people, in regular newspapers and magazines, they just say very matter-of-factly, yes, that movie had a very good blank scene. Very good lust scene. Well done. This is how hellish things are. Now the standard is that they rate the scenes, the lust scenes in the movies. Standard. Nothing special. Very, very, very steamy. This is how people are being raised. Pack your life at every moment. Dress for it, watch it, listen to it, read about it, learn about it. What is the Vedic standard? People would faint if we told them the real Vedic cultural standard. The husband and wife practically don't even see each other during the day. They have different quarters of the house. Yet children are born in Vedic culture. Children are born. What is the Vedic system? Prabhupada once explained. Because generally in the home, there's so many other family members, elderlies living there, older mother and father, maybe some brother, sister, they're all in, extended family. Still, that is a system in India. So, the husband and wife, they're staying separately. So, the wife, when there's time for conception, she waits till everybody is asleep, till the elderlies are asleep. And then she goes to the husband. And before everyone wakes up, she's gone. Not that it's... paraded before the whole family. And then, later everyone finds out a child is expected. No one talks about it. No one reads books about it, goes to the movies. That is human life. And this is what we're missing today. And therefore, it's a very dangerous time. But we can pass over these great difficulties by engagement in devotional service, serious chanting of Hare Krishna. Otherwise, not possible. Don't fool yourself. Not possible. You can forget it. Not possible. Any questions? Yes. It is impossible for there to be any kind of peace and stability when there are such horrible sinful activities committed in a routine way. Impossible. It'll never happen. And don't ever become deluded to think it will happen. Somehow or other there'll be peace. There will not be. You have to pay those karmic reactions. Just like in World War II, there was no fighting over here. Maybe the Japanese, they dropped a few bombs on Darwin or something. But there was no fighting Australia and New Zealand. But never mind. What did the laws of karma say? Give me all your young men. We'll ship them over to where the action is and they'll die there. There's no escape. I remember talking to some real old ladies in New Zealand in their 80s. And they remember they were young, in their late teens when World War II started. So, they're old-fashioned, of course, in that time. So they were just getting engaged to be married when they were 18 or 19, having their first boyfriend. So, but all of a sudden, all the men in the whole country, gone. Overnight, almost. Off to fight. I was saying, this 83-year-old lady, I said, you must have been a very chaste lady to remain... true to your husband to be while he was away for 4 or 5 years, 6 years in the war, and then when he came back, you were waiting for him and you married him. You must have been a very chaste lady. She just looked at me and said, There was no choice. There's no one else around. All the men were gone. So that is how the law of karma works. You cannot escape. You must get your reactions. The Vietnam War, now nobody can even figure out why the war was really fought. Nevertheless, American boys, Australian boys were sent to the jungles and died. Sent to the jungles to die. They can't even figure, what was that war for? They can't even figure it out now, but still, people had to go and die in the jungle. So it'll be like that. It must be. You don't have to be some kind of prophet. That is the normal thing. Where there is sinful activity, there must be horrible reactions. It can come in so many ways. Disease, war, economic hard times, natural disasters. That must always be there when there is sinful activity. There'll never be peace through lust. And this is what modern society is hoping for. Peace through lust. If everyone just admits all they want is lust, then there should be peace. This is behind the American propaganda. Everyone should just admit they want lust and do it in a democratic way, and then there'll be peace throughout the world. Everyone has a vote, and everyone has a right to be lusty. Buy Pepsi Cola and live happily ever after. Yes.
Sometimes they argue that say, your religion is all the same. If you can't convert it to your way, then you say that you're all going to be wiped out, or else you might take something. They say that some kind of psychological things will be done by everything, and we spread all these same things.
It is a fact that they're wiping themselves out. It's not our fault. We're just pointing out the obvious result of lusty activity. Why blame us for pointing out what you're choosing to do? We're just pointing out the natural outcome. If I say, look, there's dark clouds in the sky, it's going to rain, is it my fault? I'm just telling you the obvious. Or one example I use in Perfect Escape. When you're on the airplane taking off, about to take off for somewhere, and the flight crew goes through their routine and tells you what to do in the unlikely event of an emergency, do you say, oh, you guys are all the same, talking doom, spreading negativity? Have you ever done that, Danielle? Accuse the flight crew of that? Why not? Huh? Yeah, they're going through a whole negative trip. They're laying a negative trip on you. You've got cushions, life cushions under the seat, oxygen mask drops from the ceiling. In the unlikely event of an emergency, I mean, they're spoiling your whole joyride. How come you don't get on their case? So we're doing the same thing. Except we don't say in the unlikely event of an emergency. We say in the very likely event of problems. You can always come here and chant Hare Krishna or eat Srimad Bhagavatam, take prasad. But a lot of people, they don't like that. Why? What is your experience? And what do they mean by happiness? Yes, they have no other standard than that. Who in their right mind wants to be part of such a society? What are the advantages? Name me some advantages of being part of such a society. Do you feel that solidarity with the masses as you walk around Perth or drive around Perth? So what is it then? Please educate us, help us in the educational process. How does one feel amidst all this? Yeah, amidst the, you know, the materialistic lust fireball of modern society, how do you feel? Confused. But do you ever notice no one minds the confusion? Why? But they don't mind it. Why? As long as there can be lust, even if I'm confused and full of anxiety, I don't care. Just let there be lust. Right? And then finally, you get so frustrated with lust that you just have to take intoxication all the time. So what to do? What do you recommend? How to get someone out of this madness? If someone said to you, Danielle, would you like to escape from such a society? What would you say? Huh? About? Suppose you're in a house on fire. And I said, Danielle, would you like to escape the house? What would you say? No, you'd say, I'd be curious. Right? I'd be curious what you have to offer out there, outside of the burning house. So what does that show? It shows you're not convinced. I'm not speaking to you personally, I'm speaking in general. It shows that we're not convinced that actually we're living in a burning house. We think there's something good there. Therefore, if I say, come out, you say, well, there's some good things here. There's a few problems, but there's some good stuff here. Now, what is that good thing? Have you analyzed? What is the good thing that people are seeing? But what, okay, what do the people, what's the good thing that they see? And they convince one another it's possible, right? But no one's getting it. It's the biggest conspiracy. No one's getting it, but everyone's convincing. Yes, yes, I'm getting, you can also. Do you ever watch the old people? Just start watching old ladies. And visualize yourself like that. See your body like that. See your mind like that. And soon I'm going to be like that. And then what? It's very good meditation. How will I live? What will I do? What will my activities be? Then we can start to appreciate how precious human life is and how it must be used for the right thing. But maybe we're talking about material life too severely. That's probably so, right? There's got to be something good, right? Yeah, there's definitely, right? We're missing some things, right? Like, okay, so like what? So you're saying that when we criticize material life very severely, we're not understanding that it gives you a kind of belief and confidence? Or you understand my question? What? No, no. My question is, maybe there's something good in material life that we're not aware of. Huh? There must be something we're overlooking, huh?
Nothing? People helping people. Okay. Very good. So we criticize the Krishnas criticize material life, and they refuse to see that there are people who want to help people. Communally, in communities, right? We don't see that. But you know it's there, right? People helping one another. And what are they helping each other to do? Supporting each other to do what? Huh? After all is said and done, what does it come down to? Right. So how is that helping? That's making the situation worse. So don't become blinded by this craziness that, oh, actually there are people who are helping people. Reach out and touch someone's hand. Make it a better world if you can. They don't know who they are, so how can they help one another? Or if you really want to be, if you've got the transcendental knowledge, you can say it like Prabhupada said it. So you want to help? Who appointed you as the helper? You ever think about it like that? Who told you to be a helper? In other words, what's your qualification to be a helper? But people, they don't see that. They just, I'm helping. I want to help. Can I help you? I want to help. Yes, and what are you doing? Oh, I'm helping others. Oh, I'm helping others. Very nice. Even though you're supposed to pay your obeisances, you're a helper. Look at it this way. Who appointed you? Who told you to help? You ever think about it like that? Who appointed you the big helper? What do you know anyway? What are you going to do? Try looking at things in that way. They have no solution, and any support they give people is simply how to have better sense gratification. That's everyone's anxiety. How to go on identifying with the body. So if you help people to do that, you get a portion of their bad karma. Suppose I'm searching for a bank in order to rob it, and you give me directions. You're a part of the blame. So you please think about that. No one is helping anyone. They're perpetuating the ignorance. Right. All glories are so broad. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.